Well, let's pray as we come to God's Word together. Lord, we thank you for this group, this gathering of sisters and brothers in Christ. We thank you for your scriptures, which challenge us, which encourage us, which bring life to us. We thank you for your Holy Spirit guiding in all things. Right now, may these words of my mouth and the meditations and thoughts of each one of our hearts be pleasing to you, O Lord, our rock and our Redeemer. Amen. First John chapter 4, I've read verses 1 through 6 many times. I've read verses 7 through 12 many times, but I'm not sure if I've ever connected them quite as well or as thoroughly as I have reading them together this week. Because verses 7 through 12 are like this classic excursus on love and how we are to behave in this world. Beloved, let us love one another, for love comes from God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. This beautiful, beautiful idea of love and how it comes from God. But it's also connected to this idea of testing the spirits. And it's very interesting. It says, dear friends, at the beginning of verse 1, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God. Now, maybe back 2,000 years ago, this idea of testing the spirits was a very common one, and everybody knew what you were talking about when you said, test the spirits. But for those of us today, you walk up to Joe Schmo on the street and say, have you tested a spirit today? They might look at you a little side-eyed, crooked glance. Testing the spirits? Who are you into, and what are you talking about? Kind of reminds me of password-protected spaces. Not online. Those are all password-protected, it seems, these days, right? You have to have a million passwords, and you have to change it every quarter or whatever. But you go to a door, and you have to know the password to get to the other side. I've only seen these places in movies, not in real life, but maybe you've actually been to some of these places. But you have to have a password to get into the club, into the door, into the space, right? What is the password? You either know it or you don't. So, the password, the test, the spirit test here, for testing the spirits, according to 1 John chapter 4, is this question: has Jesus Christ come in the flesh? Like, oh, well, that's not a very fun password. I was hoping for like Rosebud or Oklahoma or something very odd. You know? No, this is a past question, right? A past phrase. Has Jesus Christ come in the flesh? That's the question. It's what divides the spirits, whether they come from God or whether they don't come from God. Do they believe that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh? It's a very appropriate question to think about as we approach Christmas, right? Because when does Jesus Christ come in the flesh? You guys know. Christmas, yes, thank you, Brett. He knew it. You guys are all a little slow, I know, but no, yes, 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 we all know. On Christmas, Jesus Christ comes in the flesh, and keep in mind, this question is not just about whether a child was born with the first name Jesus and the last name Christ. Christ is a title. It's, do you believe that Jesus, the Messiah, was born? Not just Jesus, last name Christ, Jesus who bears the title Messiah, Christ, Anointed One, King, Savior, Lord of all. Do you believe that God became flesh? That is the question to test the spirits with. Because that word Christ, it's no small detail in this story. Has Jesus Christ come in the flesh? This is how you recognize the Spirit of God. Because we believe God is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, right? The Father, God the Father, the Son, Jesus Christ, and his Holy Spirit. It would make sense that Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit would be on the same page since they're part of the same Godhead, right? Right? High theological talk, but here we are, okay? It's Christmas. Welcome to theology class. So, as we think about Christmas and the incarnation of Christ, this is what this passage tells us in verse 2 and 3. Incarnation is the litmus test for spiritual discernment. Did Jesus Christ come? Did God come in flesh to this world or not? That's our litmus test for spiritual discernment. Discerning the spirits, as it were. Is this of God or is this of the world? The question that divides the truth from falsehood is, did Jesus Christ come in the flesh? It's a litmus test for spiritual discernment. What? Was Jesus born in a manger on Christmas Day? And was he the Son of God? These are central beliefs for us as Christians. Move on to verse 4. You, dear children, are from God and have overcome them. That is, the spirit of the Antichrist, the spirit of the world. Because the one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world. You are from God and have overcome them because the one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world. So, we have come from God somehow. Our life force, because we have the Holy Spirit living in us, has come from God. You are from God. God is your origin story. Created by God, lovingly, fearfully, and wonderfully made. You are created by God, but you also come from God. And God is in us. The one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world. Now, we believe that God became flesh in Jesus, right? God actually took up residence among the people in Jesus. But we also believe that God lives in you and 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 you. God lives in us. It's not exactly the same thing, right? I'm not Jesus. I'm not God in the way that Jesus was. But God lives in me. Is that true? Do we believe that? God lives in us, his followers. So, when we say that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh, yes, we are talking about something that happened 2,000 years ago, but we're also talking about the fact that his spirit lives in every person that we encounter in the body of Christ right here and now. And that's powerful. It's powerful because it's not just a past event, Jesus Christ has come in the flesh. It is happening right now. Jesus Christ is alive in us in our flesh. And yes, we make mistakes and we're not perfect and none of us acts like Jesus all the time, but Jesus gives us life. Jesus is our life and he is living and alive in us. So when we answer this question, has Jesus Christ come in the flesh? It's not just a theoretical question that has no bearing on our life. It's not just like an intellectual, like, oh yeah, I believe that happened a couple thousand years ago. It ought to impact and affect every single moment, day of our lives. Because Jesus Christ has come in the flesh, Jesus Christ can come to all of our flesh, right? He comes to us, lives in us, abides in us, our Lord Emmanuel. I mean, I could quote Christmas carols all day about this idea. Jesus Christ is alive in his people right here and now. However flawed we are, it's a treasure in jars of clay. Jesus Christ is alive in us. So, when we're talking about spiritual discernment, whether something is of God or not. Do you ever wonder this? You hear an idea, you read something on Facebook, you talk to somebody, and you're like, I wonder if that is a godly idea or if that's just them blowing smoke. Anybody ever had this question in your mind? You ever suspect that some people around you are blowing smoke? You ever question that maybe you are the one blowing smoke? Maybe. Yeah. Yeah, me too. Me too. Do we believe that God is present in the people around us? Is the question we need to ask ourselves. Do we believe that God is present in the people around us? A thinker, a professor at Belmont University in Nashville, Tennessee, who I respect well, his name is David Dark, and when commenting on current events, he often uses this phrase, and I think it's so true. There are so many ways to hate God. Because when we wound and hurt one another in the body of Christ and in the world for that matter, we are demonstrating an act of hatred towards God. If we believe that Jesus Christ came in the flesh and that Jesus Christ is living in our sisters and brothers and we demonize, wound, hurt, abuse one another, we are doing that to God, right? We are actively hurting the body of Christ. There are so many ways to hate God. Now, there's another side to that question, because there's a lot of ways to love God too. So let us not despair. Let us not despair. And let us not be arrogant due to a litmus test. After John says this about every spirit that acknowledges Jesus has come in the flesh is from God, but every spirit that does not acknowledge Jesus is not from God. And that spirit's the Antichrist. And so, but he says in verse 5, they are from the world and therefore speak from the viewpoint of the world and the world listens to them. We are from God and whoever knows God listens to us, but whoever is not from God does not listen to us. Now, that can be all well and good and can be easy to say. They're on the bad team and we're on the good team. How many people would like to be able to say that? I'm on team good and the other people are on team bad and I know exactly who's who and what's what because I have discerned, right? We got to be careful about being too arrogant about this because there are so many ways to hate God and you can say, yeah, I believe Jesus was born in a manger 2,000 years ago and I hate my brother. Well, guess what? Those two things don't correlate very well. Or I'm not quite sure if I believe that God took on flesh 2,000 years ago, but I love my neighbors with all my heart. What do we do with that? Which team are they on? Let us not be arrogant due to this litmus test. Has Jesus Christ come in the flesh? Here's another litmus test for us. Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God, and everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Wow. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God, and whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. How's this for another litmus test? Love of one another. If I love one another, if I love you, I'm from God, according to 1 John. Everyone who loves God has been born of God. Everyone who demonstrates love for another person is somehow reflecting God's love to the world. Or as the musical Les Miserables puts it, to love another person is to see the face of God. Now that's not from the Bible. but it seems to flow with what John is saying here. Love of one another is the litmus test that shows whether or not we are from God. Wow. But we have to talk about what kind of love, because everybody could argue that they love somebody, right? Does everybody come from God because there's some sort of love in everybody? Maybe on some level. But what is love? This is how God showed his love among us. This is what love looks like. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. The very definition of God, the greatest demonstration of love in this world, was a father sending his one and only Son to a place that he was not, a world which he is very present but not right there with him, into a vulnerable space, in order to live this life in a vulnerable body, experiencing a vulnerability that he has never experienced before, because, hey, God in flesh, and not just to live in flesh, but to die in flesh, and to feel the pain of the flesh, the pain that each one of us are experienced with, that each one of us feel the brokenness of, or at least we have seen others experience that pain more than we could ever want. This is love. Love is self-sacrifice. Love is not self-serving. Love, we could go into 1 Corinthians 13 now. Love keeps no record of wrongs. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love is not about me. It is about you. And it is about God. This is love. And when we see it, we know that God is behind it. When we see God, we know, or when we see love, we know that God is behind it, and love is God's sacrifice for us. That is the definition of love. That is the purest embodiment of love, God's sacrifice for us. And I think if we look at verse 12, here's what it says. No one has ever seen God, not his face anyway. Moses saw his backside. Isaiah pleaded and begged to not see God because he knew he would die at the sight. No one has ever seen God, verse 12, but if we love one another, God lives in us and his love is made complete in us. This passage of Scripture, this reckless passage of Scripture, tells us that selfless love makes God visible in the world. That when we love one another the way Jesus loves us, we actually make God visible to the world. No one's ever seen God, but you know when you see God? Is when you see somebody love selflessly. When you see somebody caring for someone who cannot give them anything back. When you see selflessness, graciousness, when you see somebody going that extra mile to check up on somebody to make sure that they're okay, walking with them in their darkest time, never leaving or forsaking. When you see that demonstrated, it's not an exaggeration to say that's how you see God. That is us seeing God in action. When God's love pours through his people, we are actually seeing God. It's the closest thing we get on this earth to seeing the very face of God himself. Is that powerful or what? So, did Jesus Christ come in the flesh? Has Jesus Christ come in the flesh? Is Jesus Christ continuing to come in the flesh of his people? Is his Holy Spirit at work and alive? Well, where we are seeing that kind of love on display, the answer is absolutely yes. You could say that these are two questions, two litmus tests, that one is about orthodoxy, which is right belief, and that the other one is about orthopraxy, right action, right practice. You don't have to remember those words. For some of us, it's easier to conceive of believing the right things, because that's what we're all about. We're all about getting our ducks in order and making sure I believe the right things. For some of us, it's all about what we do. We're get-or-done type people, and we want to follow God with our lives. And both of those things are important. Believing the right things about God and following him with our life is important. So if we believe in Christmas and in Christ's incarnation, the only right response is to self-sacrificially love one another. That is what Christmas begs us to do. To self-sacrificially love one another and to show Christ's presence in the world around us. To be those people who make God's love visible, who make God's face visible to the world. And so today, we're going to deliver some food, which is a little glimpse for a couple of families that hopefully they experience the love of God through that act. This week, a few people went to the Hill Center and packed bags, meals for Lansing school kids. And hopefully they experienced the love of God in some small way through that act. Many of you will host Christmas dinners for family members. And you might invite some people in your family that you actually hope don't come. You know who I'm talking about. And in doing so, you may be showing the face of Christ to somebody who desperately needs to see God this Christmas. Sometimes it's in really small acts, but when there's self-sacrifice, God shows up. Yes?
This week I took 7 dozen cookies to the mission downtown and donated them in the name of Brenton Woods Covenant Church.
Awesome. Thank you, Charlotte. Yeah. Yes. Yes. There's a lot of making God's love visible through small acts, through big acts. So if you need some ideas, pray for people, listen to them. Some people just desperately need somebody to listen to them this season. You might be like avoiding and tiptoeing around people who you suspect are in grief, but maybe they just need a listening ear. Maybe tiptoeing around somebody who you think is mad at you, but maybe you just need to initiate a conversation and see what happens. Maybe that's a way to show God's love. Giving, baking cookies for people, showing up for people, serving them, hosting, inviting people into your space. There's so many ways to love God. Just as there are many ways to hate God, but there are so many ways to love God. And when we love, self-sacrificially love the people around us, we show God, and God shows up in those spaces. So may God show up in our lives today, tomorrow, this week, and throughout the coming year. Let's pray. God, we thank you for love made flesh. Love made flesh in Christ Jesus, the Son of God. In the way that your love is made flesh in your followers, in each one of us right here and now. We all need grace, we all need mercy, and none of us is perfect. And you know that. You know that full well. You know it better than we do. But Lord, use us. Use us to show your face to those who desperately need to see it, to those who have forgotten what it looks like, to those who maybe have no idea that you are real. May your love show up in their lives and blow them away. For you are alive. You have come in the flesh, and you do come in the flesh. And Jesus, strong and loving name we pray. Amen.